This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Where's your damn head at, dude?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is, and it's one of them old, sorry about that, T. You got me turned off, or we going to rock and roll, bro?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I stepped on Tyler.
Or I can just play now.
I stepped on Tyler. Gosh dang it, Ron.
You were fired, man.
Up, weren't you?
I was fired up. I was ready to rock and roll.
The search for a perfect show is ongoing.
Damn it, man. Had I not checked up, the listener would have never known either, T. My bad, man. Hey, look here. We appreciate you listening on that FM dial. We appreciate you listening on that AM dial. I'm in a little rental rig right now, boys. I've been listening to that old AM dial. I tell you, it takes you back to the old days of Pops listening to Sports Radio 610 back in the day. Now, my dad didn't ride me around in the truck.
Or my regular Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Or that's what you listen to on that 610 AM dial, huh? But if you listen on either of those dials, we greatly appreciate it. Twitch and YouTube, greatly appreciate that as well. The Odyssey app is where it's at, though. Y'all download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Put it on your hip. Put us on your hip. Take us anywhere and everywhere that you go. Couple of updates real quick. Astros prospect Cam Smith, spring training. One, he looks like a defensive end. Two, he hit two bombs today, and they looked effortless, boys. They looked effortless. But one opposite, one directly opposite field, and the other one was kind of in the gap. Hit it a long way. Didn't look like he got every bit of it, but he barreled it up enough to get it over the wall. And two bombs, great start for Cam Smith. Can't wait to talk to Sean Pendergast, who is our boots on the ground right now in West Palm Beach, watching these games. Now, I don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in. Pendergast and Payne, they were out there, I think, drinking cold beer, watching the Astros baseball. So, discipline will have been challenged.
The guy is drunk.
Discipline will have been challenged. Ron, would you be able to stay the course when you called in? Would you be a little bit tipsy?
I'd be tipsy, slurred a little.
All right, D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is at the combine. The NFL combine is starting. Everything's getting cranked up. The general managers, the head coaches are talking to the media. Here's D'Amico Ryans on what a combine meeting looks like and sounds like with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, a meeting with the Texans here at the Combine. We hope it comes off as very loose. We want to make sure we're not trying to grill guys too much. I want to make them at ease because I remember being here at the Combine where I had some of those meetings where they were very tense. And so I just want to make sure guys are at ease and they're comfortable and we just get to know the person. That's the main thing. We get a chance to watch as much tape as we can on these guys, but to really just sit down, helmet off, and like, let's know your background. Let's know why why do you love the game of football? And what's your why? Those are the things that we ask our guys. And, you know, we have to get a lot of insightful comments from guys from asking those questions.
All right, D'Amico Ryan's your head coach. Look, I think that's the biggest advantage that he brings to this organization, Ron, is what he's been able to do with the primo draft picks, man. You look at, obviously, Will and CJ. You look at Kamari Lassiter last year and Kalen Bullock from last year. You know, the story. I don't think the book's written on Juice Scruggs yet. We'll see what comes of that. But boy, there's something about D'Amico Ryan's as the former player, as a genuine, sincere, authentic dude, to be able to sit down across the table from these guys and figure them out and figure out if they are or are not the kind of guys that the Texans want in their program. Because you can say a lot of things about the Texans, and I'll pick them apart as much as anybody. But when it boils down to the quality of individual in that building, the Texans are big time. They've done a hell of a job building that organization. D'Amico Ryan's and Nick Caserio have done a hell of a job of building that foundation and getting this team to where, hey man, They ought to be winning if the division's in the shape it is in now, but definitely competing for the division every year and be a legit playoff contender year in, year out with what these guys have built so far.
Many coaches in their mind have a feel for what they think they want their type of player to be, what type of culture they're trying to create. Sometimes it doesn't always, they're not always successful in identifying the player that actually matches that. And I think D'Amico Ryan is, in his first 2 years, has been great.
Yeah. Doing that. Well, I just love, and maybe I'm a little biased because I'm old school as well. Like, there's just something, Ron, today about like all the analytics, all the information, all the data on all these players, whether we're talking on the field or off the field. It could be overwhelming, and you could make it a lot more difficult than it really is. D'Amico Ryan's is a guy that has the ability to sit across the table from somebody and get a really, really good feel for who they really are. And I think that's just rare in the world, but it's definitely, I think, rare in coaching circles. And so we've clearly got a good one right there. Well, there's a ton of audio. D'Amico Ryan spoke for several minutes from the NFL Combine. There's a ton of great audio. We're going to play that for you throughout the show, guys. But a little love and hate here. I like to pinpoint whether it's D'Amico talking, Nick talking, CJ talking. What did I really, really like and that he said, and what did I not like? And then let y'all cuss me for being negative. Here's the deal. Both of these are off the radar, guys. I'm going to pull a little audible here, so there's no audio with them. But with social media today, see these coaches, they speak, and then they speak to everybody, and then they get off to the side. And I think that's when the Houston media in particular can really dig in and get to ask not personal questions, but ask their questions specifically to the head coach or the GM. And my like today, I'll say love today because this is really good stuff. This is football horny stuff. I just don't have the audio. Sam Warren. From the Houston Chronicle. He asked D'Amico Ryan's about retaining quarterback's coach Gerard Johnson and how beneficial it was for C.J. Stroud. Ron, you ready? This is what the hell I'm talking about right here, by the way. This is what D'Amico said in response to that question. Again, the question is, D'Amico was asked about retaining QB's coach Gerard Johnson and how beneficial it was for C.J. Stroud. D'Amico responded, "It's mainly about CJ and his interaction with Nick Caley and being on the same page. The play caller and the quarterback have to be on the same page." Ron, one thing, I think that pulls back the curtain and shows us a little bit that there was clearly, without a doubt, some level of not being on the same page, some level of friction between CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, if we didn't already know, they've continued. Which,
that's wild to me, Ron. That's wild to me that there was as much success as was had on the field, and those guys were, there was enough friction between the quarterback and the play caller that one of them got fired.
I want to know when it started.
The Texans got a few 30 for 30s they can put out. We're going to start with Jack Easterby. We're going to start with Jack Easterby, and we can roll into the tyrant Bobby. That would be a nice little second. Get me interested with the best, which is Jack Easterby, and then hit me with this Bobby Slowick, the tyrant stuff. But here's the deal. I think it gives you a peek behind the curtain of Bobby Slowick and D'Amico D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. But number two, D'Amico Ryans is spot the hell on. I don't give a damn about nobody else in that building. I've said it a million times. This is why I was so adamant about Nick Caley, and the jury's out. And I don't know how you feel good about a guy that's never called plays, right? I'm not saying you should dislike the guy or have concern or hate the hire or not like the process the way that I am. I'm not asking you to be on my side. I'm simply telling you that this is a huge hire. And D'Amico Ryans is telling you right there, it doesn't matter about the quarterback coach. It doesn't matter about this scheme or that scheme. What matters is C.J. Stroud and Nick Caley are on the same damn page. They see the game through the same lens. And ultimately, those two guys are getting along consistently through adversity and through the good times, Ron. This is, I mean, look, I don't know that it's not rocket science, obviously, but to hear D'Amico Ryans respond to a question about a quarterback coach with this answer, to me, it just tells me that his mind's in the right spot and he's at least got a plan to handle the most important.
Yeah, they had to get badass Bobby out of there.
Yeah. I mean, ain't no doubt about that.
Bobby Badass out of there, whatever.
Badass, that's good. Now we're on to something.
There's so much there.
Anybody else's fingers hurt?
I promise you, every time we start talking about the tyrant, I pull up pictures.
I look at
Badass Bobby, and I'm just like, I just can't see Bobby Badass doing it. But clearly, they needed to get that cleaned up.
Yep.
And that is got to be the number one thing for Nick Caley.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I think
ahead of the offensive line.
Well, look, I think that's a big reason why. Show me pictures of Bobby Slowick.
That's the Bobby we don't know. The look.
Right.
The angry look.
I mean, here's the deal is I think when you look at Nick Caley and you talk about the energy, the vibe, the passion, the hard work, that's all going to get down with C.J. Stroud. No doubt about it. I think specifically the energy, the vibe, I think all that's going to be different from Bobby Slowick. And it's definitely going to be more in the pocket of these young quarterbacks, these young athletes in today's game. Again, the question is, the elephant in the room is if you can't call plays, none of that matters. Getting along with C.J. Stroud and being a guy that needs to conform to make sure that he gets along with C.J. Stroud, that is great. Find that guy, man. It's a beautiful thought in theory. But if you can't call plays, your ass is going to be in trouble. So we'll see if the vibes and the energy and all that stuff around C.J. Stroud and Nick Caley, we'll see if that equates to ultimately a better offensive product. Because we can talk about Bobby Badass all we want, but when it boils down to it, the 2 years that he was in Houston, they put up some decent numbers for a rookie quarterback and a second year quarterback.
Look out! Look out! Here he comes, Bobby Badass! Get out the way!
That would be
do
great.
It my way.
And you will go to sleep. Put you to sleep.
That's the one, guys, that I really like. All right, now I'm gonna give you a little something that I absolutely hate. There ain't no dislike. This is absolutely hate. And again, there's no audio. This is from Cody Stutes on Twitter, which, by the way, Cody does a hell of a job covering the squad. He's involved and at everything the team does, stays on top of it, reports it well. Cody Stutes on Twitter. And this is D'Amico Ryans talking about drafting guys for need, and you've heard the whole thing, man. Draft for need, or do you draft best guy available? Here's D'Amico Ryan's response. I don't think you pick a guy just because you have a need, right? Or you don't reach for a guy just because you have a need. Ron, I absolutely hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I hate it for the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans right now have one spot that you absolutely have a need. They've got two other spots, maybe even three other spots, where you have a... Let me rephrase that. I think the Texans have one spot, interior offensive line, which is you got to have. And whether that's free agent or drafting, I don't care how you get there, you got to do it. You got to have it, right? And then there's a position of need at the wide receiver position. There's a position of need at the interior defensive line position. Then I would probably say safety is going to end up being a position of need for this football team. And they're at a spot where drafting for need is to me, is of the utmost importance. There's been times in this organization where they needed everything, so it didn't matter. You just draft the best guy available, and odds are you're going to need him. But, Ron, like, you can't go into this draft because there's some good edge defenders out there, or there's some good corners out there, or there's some good there's a good tackle out there.
Best player available.
Like, no, man, like, this is – and, again, to each their own. They've done a – D'Amico's done a really good job with the exception of – well, let's be honest. He's done a good job on the defensive side of the football with the exception of C.J. Stroud. Like, there's – they're at a spot where drafting for need is – of the utmost importance at this point in time. I'm not saying you reach. I think D'Amico's right there. Like, you don't ever reach. I think that's crazy to reach for a guy. But when your turn rolls around, man, and you got a chance to either move up slightly, move back slightly, or stay where you're at and draft, let's say, an interior offensive lineman, you got to draft an interior offensive lineman because you need that guy.
Early on, it's hard to see where they have, and he hella admitted it, they've got pressing needs. It is hard to see, unless they just do something in free agency, Clint, that really fills the needs of certain positions.
Yeah.
But it is hard to believe with the amount of players in the position of needs that they need that are around that. The one thing, and I will say, that we see all around the 25 area and all these mock drafts, Mel Kiper just did one today. I'll talk about his at some point, maybe tomorrow or something. I hated his selection for the Texans. But there's a bunch of linemen and there's a bunch of receivers in that yep. range. And it would yep. be hard-pressed to think that you're going backup running back or you're going receiver or yeah. corner or tight end or something like that.
Well, they special. Look, you don't have to look far. Look at what they did last year. They took a tackle when you already had Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil, and they took a tackle. So it ended up working out because Titus Howard, unfortunately, had to move to guard. But it ended up working out because your other draft picks stunk so bad and the guys couldn't stay healthy that it was a Band-Aid ultimately at the right tackle position with Blake Fisher. So I don't know. I've never been a fan of the draft best available approach. At some point in time, you want to be an organization where I'll use your Chiefs for an example. I mean, you know, it's a wide receiver needy football team, and in the first round, you decide you're going to move up and take Xavier Worthy, right? I mean, you got a need. You went and filled that need. You identified a guy, and you went and got that guy, and he ended up being a difference maker for you this year. I don't know, man. I think there's plenty positions of need right now with the Texans to where, boy, that first and second round pick, man, I got to think they're gonna slide into one of three positions, right?
Yeah, I would think. And the other part is those positions are there.
Yeah.
There should be yeah. players there in that position. Like last year for them, corner was a big position of need, and there were a bunch of them there, and a bunch of them started to go off the board around them, but they got Kamari Lassiter and made that move. I don't think that was just best player available. That was the need that they really had to go with somebody opposite of Derek Stingley.
I just hate him. It makes me cringe when I hear it. Drafting, we want to just draft for need. Man, really?
Casario seems to have a massive Italian brain.
You got some needs. All right, coming up, we had a fiery first segment, and Clint said something that maybe rubbed some of you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. We'll revisit that, and he'll explain himself. That's coming up next.
From the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Couple of thoughts, news. Diana Taurasi retiring. 20 years in the WNBA, leading scorer in the WNBA. A lot of records there. Retiring in her 40s after 20 years. Shout out to Diana Taurasi. Great career. And congratulations there. Won multiple WNBA titles. I think she won a couple of titles with Geno at UConn. So congratulations to her. Coming up in a bit, remember, 4:40, you'll hear from Sean Pendergast live from West Palm Beach as we'll get his thoughts. Sam Smith, hell, I think he'd admit their family. The way I'm looking at it on... On the Twitter, he did taking pictures and stuff with Cam's family. I tell you what, Sean don't miss a picture. Sean will take a picture.
Absolutely.
The amount of people he
traveling kind, baby.
Yeah,
stays
yeah.
on the move.
Tyler and Sean are got to be at the top. Tyler,
Fig's pretty good.
Yeah, Fig's pretty good. But
yeah, you know you wanted to talk about Figgy, Ron. Come on.
Let me read. Let me read. Shuffle this. Now, yeah, Tyler's going to get one. Tyler's going to get one. But, yeah, they get to. I mean, we saw Marcus Freeman. I was like, oh, man, you better get your. Oh, already got him. I mean, they knocked him out. I think he had Dak with him in New Orleans. There were multiple photos that he got with folks. But we'll talk to him coming up. It's a big day for Cam Smith. A lot of people are getting crazy about his performance and a two home run day, opposite field shots. We'll talk to him in a bit. But to start our show today, it was unintentional, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, Clint, so I'll let you describe it. But when it came to C.J. Stroud, we were walking in, and the fellas from In the Loop and our crosstalk were playing audio of them talking about C.J. and the offensive line having to improve, and them showing the offensive line, D'Amico Express showing the offensive line footage of what it looks like when he has a clean pocket to see how great a quarterback he could be. And that sent you into using the word coddle.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you explain it yourself, what you meant.
Yeah, no, I think it's very self-explanatory. I think we look at you know, it's particularly the adverse times. And C.J. Stroud has been, I think coddled's probably a fair word. I think when things got rough last year and there was some adversity, the general manager, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, it was like everybody needed to reassure, hell, to the point where Will Anderson was even doing it when we spoke to him in the postgame of where we got to build C.J. Stroud up. We got to stroke C.J. Stroud. Like, I think there's a certain level of being coddled. I think even the last conversation we had about Nick Caley and you know Gerard Johnson and all everything that's you know, head over heels, everybody moving mountains to make sure that C.J. Stroud is comfortable. And I understand we live in a day and age where when you're dealing with young athletes, that's more the route that people take with these young athletes. I get it. I just don't agree with it. I just don't like it. I don't. At some point, you got to turn the corner. And I totally understand with C.J. Stroud, with a young quarterback in the league, you got to handle them with kid gloves a lot of the times. You got to make sure they are who you think they are. You got to let them go through adversity. And when they go through adversity, if they don't handle it the way that you think they should handle it, then maybe you do got to do some stroking on their egos. You got to make sure they know that you're still behind them. And when it's all said and done, I think there's been a lot of that with C.J. Stroud, particularly this season. I think the first year went relatively smooth. I think everybody was happy. Everybody, you know, overachieved. Everybody was happy with the how much winning they did in their play. The second year, things got difficult. And I think there was some coddling of the quarterback.
Do you feel like it's more than what you're seeing from other guys?
I don't know. I don't cover other teams as close. I don't know. I don't know, you know.
Let me try this. Did you ever feel like it was this way with Deshaun?
No, I don't remember Bill O'Brien ever being.
They're two different personalities.
Like overstroking the quarterback. I mean, I think it was. I mean, there was times. Look, I came to the conclusion mid-season with C.J. Stroud where I believe he's a fragile quarterback. I believe he's a fragile leader, and that was based off of two things. One, how much of a beating he was taking on Sunday, and then two, the fact that the organization felt like they needed to publicly stand behind their quarterback when, hey man, look, you're a 10-win football team, man. Your quarterback's getting hit. There's a little bit of adversity. It's not like you're threatening to bench the guy. So yeah, I just think that the next step for this football team is heavily dependent on C.J. Stroud taking the next step. And I think C.J. Stroud is absolutely elite passing the football. I think C.J. Stroud is an absolute elite processor of the game of football. I think he's above average with his legs in a sense of keeping plays alive and even making plays and moving the chains with his legs and his athletic ability. I think the one place where this football team overall can take the biggest stride in a positive direction is C.J. Stroud taking a huge stride in the direction of taking the bull by the horns, taking the next step, where this organization doesn't feel the need in adverse times to stroke the quarterback and make sure he's okay and make sure he's in the right frame of mind. Yeah, I think it's time for that next step to happen with CJ Stroud.
Yeah. And as I see people filing in here on the text line, why is Clint calling CJ weak? I don't get the sense.
Why are you weak? Why are you weak? Why you're a weak individual if you just listen to all that and you think I just said he's elite at everything. There's one place where he needs to be better and needs to develop and needs to take the next step. It's unbelievable how weak people are.
Soft.
And how sensitive people are. It's just the reality. If you watch the Houston Texans and you watch CJ Stroud and you pay attention enough to where you realize in adverse times he was a fragile quarterback, which all young quarterbacks go through it, you know, but he was a fragile quarterback that needed the organization to stroke him a bit.
Oh no.
Right? If you watch the Kansas City Chiefs game when Tank Dell blew his knee up and you didn't think, my quarterback's crying, like needing to be consoled to a point where we gave up a couple of series. Really, we lost our poise and we gave up a couple of series there in a very, very, very important game.
We don't like
the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, if you don't watch that and go, man, that dude's got to be the rock. Like, he's got to be the one steadying everybody else and saying, hey, man, let's pull this thing together, man. Let's get our mind in the right spot. We'll be by Tank's side as soon as this game's over, but let's get this thing right. Like, if you watch the Houston Texans and somebody's saying, like, hey, man, he needs to be the rock in that situation. And if you watch the Houston Texans and you don't feel like the organization felt the need to show outwardly, publicly show support to their quarterback when a little bit of adversity hit in the middle of the year, like, I don't know what you're watching. I mean, I don't know what world you're living in.
No, and I think we've seen kind of this, and I do think a little bit of is how D'Amico, his personality is and how he handles things. But I do think this is, to me, the way that they want to handle it, right? I think this is the way they want to approach CJ.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Ron. I think right now it's the best. And I agree wholeheartedly.
To get the best out of CJ, they feel like this is, it's more uplifting.
I think they're probably right with those actions. I think it's probably, it's been the right approach to this point, right? But at some point, right, the coin has to flip, and at some point the organization needs to not worry about, it's like the least of your worries in an adverse situation needs to be the quarterback you're fixing to pay $60 million a year. You know what I mean? Like that's where we need to get. If that hurts people's feelings out there, I'm sorry. I that's just the reality. That's the growth of young quarterbacks. Like right now in Carolina, they're probably worried about Bryce Young's, you know, mental state and his confidence and all that kind of stuff. Not so much now as they were, you know, midway through the season. But they're probably, because he got benched and because he struggled early on and he hadn't had just the perfect road so far, as they're probably a little worried about it. At some point, they got to turn the page, you hope. And a Bryce Young is like, hey, man, this dude's a rock. This dude is the leader of all the alphas in the locker room. This is the dude. It's normal maturity, development, next step, whatever you want to call it. And that's to me, where this team can get can make the most improvement, and that's where CJ Stroud needs to make the most improvement.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Sean Pendergast. We'll go to we'll go live to West Palm Beach and hear from him and get his thoughts on what he saw. He was there and watched the Astros in their spring training game against the Mets and saw Cam Smith step into the spotlight. We'll talk to him about what he saw.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all coming up next.
Pendergast and Payne.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents... The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is back. And remember, coming up in the next hour, 5 o'clock hour, you will have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see John Pardee. That's coming up, 5 o'clock hour. 4 tickets. You have a chance to win there. We've already hooked up a winner in the 3 o'clock hour. You'll have your chance, final opportunity of the day in the 5 o'clock hour, to win a 4-pack of tickets. But let's head out to West Palm Beach as we have the entire team, minus Ben, of Payne and Pendergast. Seth and Sean join us. Fellas, you guys, listen, I know you got rained out yesterday, but you saw some action today.
Yeah, we did. Ben is saving all his takes for tomorrow.
Okay, all right, all right.
Yeah.
You guys tune in at 6 a.m. He's going to be spitting fire.
Oh, dude, it's going to be amazing.
Orange fire.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it was fun out there today, man. Got to see a lot of runs. Got to see some of the more prominent names we're looking at. It's funny, I was saying to Parker when about the fifth or sixth inning rolled around, and they put whatever inning it was, probably fourth or fifth inning, where they're putting in Bryce Matthews at second base, they're putting in Cam Smith at third base, they're bringing in Forrest Whitley out of the bullpen. I'm like, okay. I will say this, these latter innings now are a whole lot more interesting than they were when we came out here a couple of years ago. You know, get to see some of the young guys.
Hey, Sean, I literally were watching the game right about that same moment. I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. This is a moment where I don't envy Sean and Seth, man.
Really?
You start to see those wide receiver and defensive lineman numbers coming out there.
I mean, everybody's got a 90 number, and I don't know. When I looked up, whoever hit before Bryce Matthews did, like, I'd never heard of the guy. I was like,
yeah, it was Zach Short.
That's about right.
Shortstop. Yeah.
And I was like,
stop knowing.
I was like, damn, I bet them boys are sitting up there in that sun, probably drinking a cold beer, but about 3 or 4 innings of this, I'd be cooked. But all of a sudden, the fireworks happened, and Cam Smith happened, man. I want to start right there, because we talked about it a little bit yesterday, man. Thoughts on Cam Smith?
It was incredible. I mean, you know, look, the physical, he's a specimen, you know, to behold, especially playing third base. He's a big dude.
He's put together.
He is. Yeah. Seth got an up close look. I was up in the press box, but Seth was roaming the ballpark today with a checklist of things he wanted to see, and I looked at the list, okay, and one of them was Cam Smith's anatomy.
Yes. I saw all of it.
You saw all of it.
No, but I wanted to see Cam Smith hit 2 home runs. That's what I said this morning.
That was on the checklist.
Go check the tapes.
Odyssey app, Seth.
Yeah, he looks like a corner outfielder. I will say that, but he
does, and that's where, I mean, look, it's one game, so we'll see how this whole thing plays out. Nobody's got him out yet. He had 2 walks on the weekend, and he had 2 home runs today. So
if I was in a bar fight, Alex Bregman or Cam Smith by a mile, I would want him next to me. Alex Bregman, go get the car so we can get out of here afterwards.
The first home run was on the first pitch, and that was just a complete, like, that was a shot you expect from a guy that looks like that. The second one, as I'm sure you guys saw, it sounds like you had the game on TV. He kind of muscled it to right center, and it got caught up in the wind and ended up landing, like, you know, like 3 feet over the fence. But what I would say about that is, if it was anybody else that hit it with, you know, like, same swing, same everything else, it probably gets caught at the front of the warning track, because it's Cam Smith. It lands 5 feet into the bushes there. So it was electric, man. And we I don't know if you saw on social media, but Seth and I got to meet his family after the game. Yeah.
Now I need to be clear here.
Yeah.
Which one was the mom? Because you said the mom's in the middle. Was she directly in the middle?
Directly in the middle, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn,
the classic definition of middle.
The middle.
Well, yeah, I just,
there's 5 people in the picture show. Like,
she was the third person over in a 5-person
I'm just saying, she looked a little too young to be the mom.
That's the age we're at.
I said the mom's got to be the lady standing next to Deshaun. Maybe he's talking middle, because that lady in the middle, that don't look like she gave birth to that big joker.
Listen, that was either his grandma or his
grandma was next to me.
Yeah, now she's a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
so she was, you know, she couldn't have been more ecstatic that her grandson and or great nephew was playing for the Cubs. Yeah. But it was a pretty good, display for him to put on with his new team.
Show, welcome to 40, man. Like, that's where we're at now. Like, that woman in the middle is old enough to have Cam Smith.
I thought the same thing when she said she was Cam Smith's mom. Because, okay, so we're walking out of the ballpark, Adam and and Sean and myself and Parker. And there was a group of ladies taking a picture in front of the big Astros sign there.
Yeah, the logo.
And, and I heard one of them say, like, my arms aren't long enough. And I said, hey, little ladies,
so Seth whipped
I've
out,
got long arms.
Seth whipped out his long arms. Yeah.
And I just, I took a picture of him, and then I got a selfie with him.
Yeah.
And then one of them just, I mentioned something about Cam Smith, and she said, I'm
that's
my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really cool. It was really cool to see, like, how happy she was to have been able to watch her son, you know, with his new team have that performance.
Yeah.
I'm going to be disappointed if you guys can't parlay that into a mom segment on the show at some point.
Well, we got a show coming up tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Tune in and see, baby. And, 6 a.m.
Yeah,
six
once we get past Ben's takes at 6, we can get into the mom joint.
Yeah, we'll get it. Ben's takes at 6, and then we'll start in on the mom segment at 6 o'clock and 30 seconds.
Before we get to that boner.
I know a lot of people had a lot of excitement on with this. We're talking to Seth and Sean, Payne and Pendergast, live. You can catch them every morning right here on Sports Radio 610, 6 to 10 a.m. They're in West Palm Beach. I know Cam is the headline today, but obviously we're not sure if he's going to be a huge impact, at least early with this team, or even break camp with them. What about the guys that we know are going to be a part of this team? What did you see from them? I know Blanco had a rough go of it on the mound and had a lot of guys that are going to be starters get bats today. What'd you see from those guys?
Yeah, I'll real quick, Seth, I'll just say the things I liked. If the guys we know are going to be on the team, Christian Walker, I thought defensively he had a chance to make a couple what would have been difficult plays. That would have been fun to see if he had made those plays. But he was great at the plate. He had a double off the wall, straightaway center field. He had a walk. Like, he made things happen offensively. The outfield is a major issue still. Chaz and Jake were terrible today. 0 for 5 combined with 3 strikeouts. The only good thing that happened, Clint, you'll like this. White boy Chaz got beaned on the shoulder, and that drove in a run with the bases loaded.
You'll come at
that
me about white boy Chaz.
White but boy even, Chaz stunk in the outfield.
Yeah, he had a chance to
Seth
make a
was
nice.
Right there.
He had a chance. I was in the left field at that point, and he had a nice chance to come up and make a play, scooping one up on a short fly ball.
Started
and
he started going backwards on that play.
Yeah, he had a bad read on it.
He had a bad read on it. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? The other thing too is. But Paredes' first at bat, it was perfect because he walked.
That's exactly.
And it was all
does.
That plate judgment that you would come to see. And while it's at the top of my mind, by the same token, Bryce Matthews, who you're kind of wondering, okay, his judgment at the plate is a work in progress. Man, I was standing right behind home plate when he swung at a pitch that it was like an Altuve swing except 6 inches further out.
Yeah.
It was he's got to continue to work on that.
Blanco was not great, as you guys point out, 1 1/3 innings, and he gave up an absolute meteor shot to Jose Siri.
It's not ideal. Oh my gosh. I want to slap every Mets fan in attendance.
Oh, I bet he
I was like, you don't know Jose.
Yeah.
Hey, Seth, what the hell's going on, man? Left field, behind the plate, chasing iguanas, lifting weights, drinking cold beer. I mean, what are we trying to do here, man?
I'm having the time of my life.
It's a one-man wrecking crew.
Let me tell you this about going to spring training, because I had somebody on Twitter ask me today, like, okay, I'm talking to my son about going. Really, what is so special about it? It's really hard to explain. It's the entire atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's so laid back, but you're in a minor league park, basically. Yeah. You get to just sit down, and honestly, one of my favorite parts of it is the conversations you have with all these Astros fans, especially the retired ones or some of the older fans that have just said, I've always wanted to do this. And you get to really just take in the whole experience. But at the same time, I did about, 3 total laps around the ballpark I was watching the game.
You were you were sweating up a storm when you got to the press
box. You can go and did I stink? I'm sorry.
No.
So I'm going to go check out. Oh, Wisniewski's warming up in the bullpen. I'm going to go watch him.
Yes.
And I talked to a couple Astros fans.
Right.
Then I go back and I talk to, what was the name of the guy? Rick. I was talking to Rick, who had a stroke a few years ago, but he's doing great, Sean.
That's what I was about to ask.
Yeah. And as I was talking to him, this is a little bit later, I was talking to him, and as we were talking about Bregman, Cam Smith hit his second home run.
It's serendipity.
It's just an awesome experience. And plus, it was 74 degrees and sunny, but with a nice breeze.
Yes.
It was it's like the perfect baseball experience.
Before we get you out of here, because I got to get this, because the way that Sean lost his mind yesterday, and I know the way you've been talking about it. I could see it on TV, and yes, there is a change, but what is the John Singleton look in person now that you've gotten to see him? Because I can see it, but I need shirt off. I need to see a little bit. I can clearly see the cutting of the carbs and the sugar. But I mean, you guys are up close. Is it a real difference?
I'll defer to Seth Payne, sideline reporter.
So I was down towards the end of the game. Yeah, because I was texting with you about it. Or no, whenever he made those two nice plays at first base.
This is later in the game.
So obviously he didn't do much at the plate. But I do think he made a couple of plays at first base. One which could have been a double, it almost turned a double. Another nice play, a couple at bats after that, where he physically looks really good. Yeah. He looks lean. He looks like a built dude. It's always tough to tell in baseball uniforms, but the transformation is there. But I do think he looked more spry and athletic as a fielder. Yeah. So that was nice to see.
Yep.
All right. Well,
so it's real. It's real. Show.
I need to see a little bit more. I did the way Adam Spolane and the way you lost your mind yesterday as well, Sean. I think the key
is Spolane, because I lose my mind on a lot of stuff. Show, as you, yeah, very well, yeah, know. Yeah. Spolane loses his mind on very few things.
Yeah, yeah, very crusty.
Have you boys caught and held an iguana yet?
No, there was an army of them attacking us out in the yard today.
We're going like to kill a bunch of them. We're going to kill the hell out of them. Let me tell you something about this Airbnb.
Yeah.
This Airbnb is awesome. It's got everything. It's one of the best.
Got every animal.
One of the best stocked Airbnbs I've ever been in. We've got a pool. We're on the water.
Yeah.
There's a kayak that I'm going to take out later.
We have a zoo in the backyard.
It's basically Jurassic Park out there from the wildlife standard, but there's no toaster.
It's weird.
So Sean and I are going to go to Walmart and get a toaster later.
Yep.
Then we're going to club the crap out of one of these iguanas.
With the toaster.
And then we're going to toast the iguana and leave it for the hosts when we leave.
Yeah. I better put some butter on that bread and put it in that oven.
I don't know if it's legal, boys.
That escalated quickly.
Well, I don't know when the hell. This will be the first time that ever stopped me from doing anything.
We're about to find out.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Have a good time. Don't kill any of those damn iguanas.
Can we talk to you
guys? I'm going to go do my bench test later.
I saw that, yes.
That was with 135. It was the first time I had weight on a barbell in a long time. Going to work up to 185 today, and then we'll do 225 tomorrow.
He's going to look like John Singleton by the end of the week.
There it is. All right, fellas. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, that is Seth and Sean. Check them out tomorrow as they are live, West Palm Beach tomorrow, and every day 6 a.m. till 10 a.m. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. You will have a chance in the next segment to win four. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Four tickets, a four-pack of tickets to see John Pardee coming up, Houston Rodeo, Thursday, March 13th. Your chance to win that coming up next right here live on The Drive.